Hi, this is Kim, and welcome back to Weber County's Greatest Generation. Today marks the 79th anniversary of the D-Day invasion in Normandy. So let's take a look back at what was going on in Weber County 79 years ago. Something that really surprised me was how soon the invasion was in the news before June 6th. I always thought it was a big secret that the invasion was coming, but there was an Associated Press article on June 1st in the Standard Examiner. A United States Naval Base hospital in England. Blue jackets, or sailors, wounded in the invasion of Europe will be returned here to the most modern medical facilities and some of the best surgical skill of the United States. Staff members of this 1,000-bed hospital have spent tedious hours rehearsing the necessities of speedy and effective treatment of patients. The staff consists of 45 doctors, 12 hospital corps officers, 100 Navy nurses, and 400 hospital corpsmen. The capacity of the institution can expand quickly to 1,500 beds. So obviously, everyone knows something's going on. I just think that they don't know exactly when. Another thing that I didn't realize is that in Italy on June 1st, the Allies are within sight of Rome, and both battles will be going on simultaneously. So on June 3rd, the AP reported in an article, invasion coast struck twice by U.S. bombers. Heavy U.S. bombers struck twice at the Nazi coastal fortifications on the Calais area of France today. Calais was the shortest route in the English Channel into France. It was about 21 miles from the Strait of Dover. And I think this is where everyone, including the Germans, thought the invasion would take place. On June 4th, the headline was 5th Army blasts open last gateway leading to Rome. And on the 5th, the day before the Normandy invasion, the AP reported, jubilant Rome welcomes allies. That night, there was to be a 15-minute fireside chat by FDR to proclaim the fall of Rome. He was also expected to express gratification for the preservation of Rome's historic and religious shrines and to reassure Pope Pius XII that allies would observe the sovereignty of Vatican City. Sovereignty. On Tuesday evening, June 6th, the headlines of the Ogden Standard Examiner had in bold one-inch print, Allies Advance in France, and most of the front pages reported on the landing. FDR had scheduled another fireside chat that evening for 8 Mountain Time, in which he was to give a prayer that was published on the 6th, asking all Americans to join in. It was a really touching prayer, and it reads in part, Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation this day, have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity. Lead them straight and true, give strength to their arms, stoutness to their hearts, and steadfastness to their faith. They will need thy blessings. Their road will be long and hard. The enemy is strong. He may hurl back our forces. Success may not come with rushing speed, but we shall return again and again and again. And we know by thy grace and by the righteousness of our cause, our sons will triumph. They will be sore, tired by night and by day, without rest till victory is won. The darkness will be rent by noise and flame. Men's souls will be shaken with the violences of war. So skipping forward just a little, some will never return. Embrace these, Father, and receive them, thy heroic servants, into thy kingdom. And for us at home, fathers, mothers, children, wives, sisters, and brothers of brave men overseas, whose thoughts and prayers are ever with them, help us, Almighty God, to rededicate ourselves in renewed faith in this hour of great sacrifice. Then skipping forward a little more, with thy blessing, we shall prevail over the unholy forces of our enemy. Help us to conquer the apostles of greed and racial arrogance. Lead us to the saving of our country with our sister nations into a world unity that will spell a sure peace. A peace invulnerable to the schemings of unworthy men, and a peace that will let all men live in freedom, reaping the just rewards of their honest toil. And then he closed with, Thy will be done, Almighty God. There is a column in the Standard called Frank Francis News and Views. And that day his column read, "At the start of the invasion, the Allies are moving swiftly and successfully in landing on the northwest coast of France. After a tremendously heavy assault by air and sea, paratroopers made the initial invasion and encountered far less opposition than was expected. Battleships threw great shells from 16-inch guns, helping them clear the way for men in parachutes and gliders." So just a note, that didn't happen. The paratroopers were the first to leave England right after midnight and were dropped in total darkness. Back to the article. So far, the attack has been demonstrated to have been skillfully planned and executed. Sleeping Ogden was made aware that something unusual was occurring when Southern Pacific siren early this morning blasted in the air with a hoarse roar. At about 3 a.m., a mighty chorus of whistles in the yards was loud enough to awaken even those sleeping soundly. It was a reminder of Armistice Day of 1918 when three locomotives in tandem sounded off and kept up the roar for hours. At one time last night, a dozen locomotives must have been contributing to the diaspinal chorus. Okay, I had to look that one up. Diaspinal means a full, rich outpouring of harmonious sound. Ogden was soon fully awake with the homes of the city aglow with lights. Church bells were heard, calling the multitude to beseech the good Lord to watch over our boys on the battlefront. Hundreds of families in Ogden have their boys in the area of the invasion, making this a fateful day for our city, as well as our nation and the world. Hitler said it couldn't be done, that the Allies would be annihilated before they got a foothold on the continent. But the Fuhrer is doomed to disappointment, as our armed forces have already landed and are making headway. The Allies were warned by our enemies of dreadful things to happen. Ignoring the threats of disaster, Eisenhower sent his mighty armies to breach the defenses of the enemy. So far, the invaders have found the going far less difficult than expected. Another article on the local page said varied emotions aroused as whistles shrieked to spread invasion news. When the railroad whistles performed their invasion symphony around 3 a.m. this morning, the music aroused varied emotions among those who were awakened, emotions that continued throughout the forenoon. Even a casual observer downtown today could perceive there were two divisions among our residents. In the one group were the many with sons, brothers, husbands, or other loved ones in the invasion theater. To these, the whistles gave a solemn, emotional impulse. These were exalted by the early news indicating a considerable measure of success, but their exaltation was tempered by a deep apprehension as to the personal sacrifice involved in the success. In the other group were those without close kin among them, bearing their breasts to the enemy. These could read and hear the news more objectively and rejoice in the accomplishments without the restraints that were influencing the others. Everybody seemed impressed with the gravity of the entire situation, the perils and ferocious fighting that will ensue when the Germans are able to focus their forces on the points where the Allies have seized the beachheads. If there were any who had an idea that the spirit of Invasion Day would resemble the spirit of Armistice Day, they were woefully mistaken. Solemnity rather than exuberance was the rule. Everywhere there was a demand for more news, even though newspapers and radios were pouring out news in astonishing quantities. Okay, I just really had to laugh here. The temper of people was revealed by information from St. Joseph's Catholic Church that larger throngs than usual were participating in the masses. There will be a special service at St. Joseph's tonight at 7:45 o'clock. The Reverend George Argyle, rector of the Episcopal Church, when awakened by the whistles, went to his church and rang the church bell and spent moments in prayer. And I think this is the Episcopal Church of the Good Shepherd, which is still located at 24th and Grant. The announcement that President Roosevelt has prepared a prayer to be uttered when he makes his radio statement tonight seems to interest everybody. At the military depots in Ogden and vicinity, the war work proceeded as usual, but in an atmosphere of deep interest arising because the military and civilian personnel knew so many people in the war and because their work provided them with deep insights into the grave factors of an expeditionary force adventure. So there you have it. Ogden was awakened about 3 a.m. and apparently got up and celebrated the Normandy invasion. I was amazed at the amount of news they had so early in the invasion, but of course a lot of the facts are not going to come out for a while, and especially the news from the beaches of Omaha and Utah. So happy D-Day 2023. If you really want to join in the spirit of the day, go watch The Longest Day, which Eisenhower said was not very accurate, but still, in the spirit of the day, it's a great way to spend your time. Thanks for joining. Remember, the podcast is available on my website, Weber County's Greatest Generation. Also, each week, I do a recap of what was going on 80 years ago in Ogden. That usually comes out around Sunday, so look for that as well. We're also available on iTunes, so thank you.